Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 K-Rock FM. Good morning, boys and girls. The lads are on vacation, so we're taking this opportunity to do a little showbiz news with me, Ralph Garman, and my dearest pals, Chip.
Woo!
Chip, the Wonder Monkey.
The Wonder Monkey?
Yes. You're like a little spider monkey over there, just pushing all those buttons, jumping around, throwing your poo.
Like I do.
And, of course, the lovely and talented Allie McKay. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Ralph.
You finally got out of your garage?
I got out of my garage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. And for everyone giving me tips to just pull the cord.
Just pull the cord. Why don't you just pull the cord?
It's very helpful. If I could get into the garage.
All right. Now, I was perplexed.
Yeah.
There is no access into your garage
home? No, it's an outside detached garage.
Oh, it's a separate structure.
That was confusing a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think garage, they think it's attached to their home. They walk through a door into the garage.
Well, yeah, if you're rich.
Or an apartment building, even. You go down the elevator and you get out in the community garage, and that's how you get out that way. But you have a separate structure just for your car.
Yes.
Wow.
But we still all agree it's her fault, right?
Oh, it's totally my fault for not knowing that little itty-bitty hole in the garage is for a key called a pass key, which I don't have. Yeah, I found that out yesterday.
Huh.
I'm getting one.
Yeah, I would recommend that because you were stranded.
I was stranded. It wasn't good.
And then you chose to abandon those who were depending on you at work and just not show
thanks,
up.
Ellie.
Well,
so
I thought about calling Uber, but then what if I got mugs and... But that would never happen. Let's be honest.
If you're calling Uber, you would never get mugs. You would get someone who actually drives Uber.
It was
a lot of people
night.
Were suggesting, why doesn't she just get a ride in? And then I said, I have no answer for that.
Listen.
How was Vegas, I guess, is the question.
Have fun working, suckers.
So gross, Bean.
Anyway, Allie's back, and she's got power. You have power, right?
I have power.
You have power at home?
I do. It's so nice.
So, all is well. Let's take a look at show business news. Weird, scary, disturbing story regarding actress Selma Blair yesterday, who apparently had a breakdown to 30,000 feet. Sounds like a great Twilight Zone episode. She was vacationing with her 4-year-old son and her ex-boyfriend, which I think was interesting, in Cancun, Mexico. And she was returning from that trip on a flight into Los Angeles. And that's when she started yelling at the top of her lungs during the flight about how someone was burning her private parts, wouldn't let her eat or drink. He beats me, she kept screaming, and he's going to kill me. This sounds like a show Allie would watch. Sounds like a Dateline NBC.
Sounds like Snapped.
Witnesses suspect she was mixing pills with a glass of wine.
Which is
never a good idea, boys and girls.
No.
Keep your drugs and your booze separate, like I do. Paramedics had to cart her off the plane on a stretcher when the plane landed. She was transported to a local hospital. No word on her condition, but it sounded like someone should check her private parts for burns, first of all.
That's
the first thing I would do. I'd say, let me see that hoo-ha.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
Even if she didn't say it.
Right. That's how I start my exams, from the hoo-ha out.
You're the worst doctor.
I'm the best
ever.
Doctor. Are you kidding me?
You're the worst. You're actually a dentist. That's
right.
The weird part.
Yes. But I also make sure you don't have any gingivitis anywhere else.
Oh! The grossest.
And Iggy Azalea, we've been following this story. You know how she and ex-fiancé Nick Young have split up. Things did not turn out well. Nick, of course, went on video and said, yeah, sure. I knock boots once in a while with somebody else. That didn't go over well with Iggy, and she ended their relationship. I didn't know how severe it was, however, because last Monday, when she announced the break from her fiancé, she tossed all of his belongings onto her driveway. And she had his 1962 vintage Chevy Impala towed off the property. So it does not sound like a conscious uncoupling so much as it does a conscious... I hate not being able to say the words that are in my head because I was...
Your head looked like it was going to explode.
It was filled with curses.
Yeah.
And I realized I can't curse on this show. Turns out you can't curse on the air. So
weird.
It's not good. And Al, you've been in television news, in the news game.
I was,
large
indeed.
Part of your life.
Sure.
What was the worst thing a male coworker ever said to you regarding your performance vis-a-vis your appearance?
You need to wear a push-up bra. Mm. You need to wear heels at all times. Mm. Maybe wear tighter clothes. Mm. We're in sweeps. Mm. Hey, why is your hair in a ponytail? Put it down. Men like long hair.
Wow. It's science.
yeah, it's science.
You got all that science?
Yeah.
Well, those are all bad.
Yeah.
But not as bad as Tamron Hall. You know Tamron Hall?
Oh, sure.
From NBC?
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about her career. She's a big deal over there at NBC. Co-anchor of the Today Show. Host of Deadline Crime, which sounds, again, like a show you would really enjoy.
Yeah.
She was advised not to pursue a career in broadcast journalism by a male professor because her long eyelashes would distract the viewers. That's what
they
said. Come on! Oh, it's true. You see her eyes? It looks like Venus flytraps. She's got two Venus flytraps stuck to her face.
Just blowing the papers all over the desk.
Madness.
Every time she blinks.
There's debris caught in them. It's like old tires and beer cans. It's maddening. Yeah, luckily she ignored his suggestions, and she, of course, is wildly successful. Who would say such a thing? Your eyelashes are too long.
That's the nicest thing someone could say to dissuade you from
a
career.
That's a weird thing to pick on.
It's very bizarre.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Faison. We just had him in the show recently talking about his new game show. 42 years old today. Clyde Drexler. Clyde the Glide, they used to call him back in the day. He's 54 years old. MMA fighter, Randy Couture is 53.
I would read those articles.
I would. He writes the hell out of it off. For 3 minutes, he's furiously writing, and then he takes a break. Bruce Campbell's 58 years old. Love Bruce. Kurt Warner, former NFL quarterback, of course. Successful with the Rams and the Cardinals, 45 years old. Our buddy Carson Daly celebrates a birthday today.
Carson.
I'm going to go down the hallway and give him 43 birthday punches. And Cyndi Lauper, 63. Meryl Streep turns 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A few days ago, I brought you a story about a kid who had a problem with something in her nose. It was runny. It smelled kind of bad. She went to a number of doctors. She's a little 5-year-old girl named Chloe, cute little girl. And it turned out that she had a safety pin that she had inhaled at some point and forgotten about. It had been up in her nose for 6 months. Now, that story surprised me a little bit. But what really surprised me was in the news report that I brought you, they revealed that something like 80,000 people a year end up having foreign objects in their bodies that have to be removed by a doctor.
Oh,
80,000 a year in America. For children, the most common, by the way, are coins and safety pins, which I was surprised, but also toys, lots of foods, including grapes and nuts, beads, lots of things find their way into kids. And you don't even want to get me started on the things that find their way into adults.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Am I right?
Nope. You are right.
Our friend Dr. Mo is on the line from Long Beach General. He's a trauma and vascular surgeon, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Long time no talk. So foreign objects stuck in the human body.
Yep.
Not uncommon, it sounds like.
I think 80,000 is low.
Really?
Is this something that comes through the doors of your hospital every day, every week, every month? How often?
It's routine. Yeah, it's nothing surprises us anymore.
That's so weird. I would think that would happen once a month, and you would all gather and go, "Oh, check this out." Not even like that at all, huh?
I won't deny that there is a little bit of, "Oh God, check this out."
Sure,
but it's a little bit more frequent than that, and they come.
All right.
Waves. Yeah.
Let me ask you about are we talking about two different categories? We're talking about I accidentally inhaled a safety pin like little Chloe here, and then now we're talking about, oh, I sat on a light bulb because I thought it would feel good. I mean, are we talking about sex and non-sex, two different kinds of categories here?
More or less. The ones that you're talking about with the kids, of course, that's just almost a curiosity, the jelly beans up the nose, that sort of thing. And then in the other orifices, it's more of, I'm bored, or...
I'm
bored!
I've never been that bored.
Who's that bored?
What kinds of things have you or your colleagues removed from human bodies, Doctor?
Segment of garden hose. That was interesting.
Okay.
The little springy thingy the toilet roll sits on.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was a little tough to get out. Because it kind of went, tearing, kept like going backwards. And then
I always like to picture these
lots of food items, potatoes and stuff. I don't know how you can accidentally sit on a potato and it gets there while you're cleaning something in the kitchen. That seems unusual.
I always like to picture the people going into the emergency room because there's that plexiglass between you, and you pretty much have
you
to
have
yell.
To shout.
It's
yeah.
a potato.
Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just I have something stuck up there, and you sort of run with it, and then it's either an X-ray or like my all-time favorite was I got called downstairs to remove what we call a foreign body. I look, and the guy gets in the – he's sitting on a bed, and he's got this dopey little smile. And I introduce myself. I'm trying to be all professional. I get him into the, like, the position that, like, he's going to try to give a baby. I look down there, and I see the little metal end of a light bulb stick.
Oh,
so,
no.
Unfortunately,
now, let me just ask you a question right there.
Okay.
Have you ever at that exact moment laughed?
I don't have a very good poker face for most things, but for this, I'm getting really good at
okay.
being
all
very
right.
professional. And unfortunately, I've developed tricks on how to remove these things. So I did what I had to do, and I sort of popped that sucker right out. And the guy looked up and goes, "Wow, you got them both?"
Oh, my God.
So obviously, the danger of a light bulb is you're terrified it's gonna shatter on the way out.
This guy was a thrill seeker, and thrill seeking is also another element to this. Often these people are on something. Sometimes they're on amphetamines or something that like they're like looking around, going, "Okay, drapery rod." Then
nope, it just starts to look sexy at a certain point,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Cans of shaving cream, bottles of shampoo, lots of food items.
Not
right.
Wow,
Doctor. Let me ask you this: if it's the latter category that we're talking about, the thrill seekers that are putting mm-hmm. things in their butt, a lot of times are they embarrassed to go to the hospital, so they ignore it and they feel like it'll work itself out, and that creates way more problems for them because they don't seek immediate attention.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They're like, okay, this will come out eventually. One of the ones that I wasn't my patient, but. Pool ball of the
a pool ball,
yeah, not the cue ball, but one of the numbered ones, yeah, because okay. that if you can imagine, there's like really nothing to grip to get that
right,
button.
Yeah,
so
right.
One.
How about the non-butt stuff, the things that people have accidentally snorted or gotten stuck in their ear? What kinds of things have you pulled out of like noses and ears and throats and places
well,
like that?
How about the non-butt stuff?
the nose and ears and stuff that you usually gets pulled out before they need somebody like me. Being a surgeon, I'm sort of the guy you don't want because it's going to be something drastic. But one of the most disturbing ones was a mentally ill guy who had this habit of taking those little like golf pencils, the pencils that don't have erasers on them that are really
sure.
short.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And he would like drill them through his abdominal wall.
What?
To try to shove them inside, and then surgeons would always have to go and yank them out. And I didn't meet this guy. I was not the first, like, person at this particular party. When he came to see me, he had this big, thick scar down the middle of his abdomen, and he was shoving golf pencils in and then pushing them all the way in with, like, a ballpoint pen just to make sure they completely disappeared. And we'd have to go rummaging around for little golf pencils that he would shove through his abdominal wall
in
his body. It was unbelievable.
But he always had something handy if he needed to take notes, though. I mean, that's the one advantage.
Absolutely.
He's never without a pencil.
Exciting, yeah.
All right, here's some ground rules for our phone topic. One is that it can't be something that is made for sex.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
We're not talking dildos, in other
and
words.
Two is mentally illness, not that funny, so let's go with people who aren't mentally ill, just on drugs or stupid.
Dr. Moe, we love you, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Talking about foreign objects stuck in your body here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Any object that's not supposed to be in your body. So no sex toys. That's the only thing we're excluding, but we're taking your calls right now. Why don't we start with, we got some good ones here. Let's go through as many as we can. Let's start with Joy. She's in Brea, and she is on line 7. I love the thing that ends up in your body, and you have no idea how it got there.
Hey, Joy.
Yeah, I'm completely normal. I was about 26, 27, and I had a raw piece of macaroni stuck in my ear, and I don't know how it got there.
You had macaroni in your ear, and you don't know how it got there?
No, I don't sleepwalk.
What?
I'm completely normal. I have no idea how it got there.
We'll be the judge if you're completely normal, by the way.
No idea how long it was there, too.
Yeah, the doctor couldn't find out. All he did was flush it out. He was able to get it out, and it was whole, you know. But I don't know. It was the weirdest thing.
That is a mystery.
You do good work.
Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Melissa, please. Long Beach, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, morning.
Hi there. You are a nurse, so you see some of what Dr. Mo was telling us about.
I do. We work at the same hospital. I work in pediatrics, and every so often we pull a cockroach out of some little kid's ear, and it's so sad.
Oh, wow. That's not good.
I mean, that lady on Survivor a couple of weeks ago had a bug that crawled into her ear. I mean, I guess if you're out in the yard or something like that, there's nothing to stop anything from getting in there, right?
Ew. I don't know. I don't think these kids are in the yard. They're usually of crib age, and they come in and they say there's something bothering them in their ear.
Oh, my God.
I've seen one come out alive.
Okay.
What? That is okay.
All right. Thank you for calling.
That's a sad thing. Thank you so much, Melissa. We appreciate that. All right, let's try Sasha, please. Huntington Beach, line 3. You know, with all the orifices we were discussing, there's one we forgot, you guys, and I think that's what Sasha's calling to remind us of.
I don't think we forgot about it.
Hey, it's me.
Hi. What foreign object did you get stuck in your body and how?
I got pogs. I had 8 pogs in my vagina.
Did you say eight?
What?
Yeah, 8 pogs. When I was about 6, I sort of discovered my vagina, and I would start sticking things up there.
Right.
And then...
like you do.
And my mom told me to stop. And then when I was closer to 14... So around like 7 or 8, I stopped, and then closer to 14, I started having my period, and then I started getting like terrible cramps, and I went to the doctor, and I found they found 8 pods in my vagina.
So for how many years?
Six years.
What? How?
Yeah.
What? Is that possible?
When you.
But how?
And pogs made a comeback at one time, so she probably had some good ones up there.
Right. They made it very valuable.
It was just a savings plan.
Right. I needed them to be safe so no one would steal them from me.
That's why I did it, too, because I have a twin brother, and he used to always steal my toys, so I probably stuck them up.
It's his fault. Son of a bitch.
All right, Sasha, if I ever need to hide anything, I'm coming to you for help, okay? I don't know how much I need to learn about the mating habits of the elephant. That's my only concern, is I feel like there may be too much elephant sex from what I've heard. Film in theaters everywhere that we have been so looking forward to is called The Brothers Grimsby. It's always a thrill to have our next guest back on the phone of the Kevin and Bean Show. Sacha Baron Cohen is here, you guys. Hey, Sacha, how are you?
How are you? I've missed you guys a lot.
Sacha, I don't know what it's like where you grew up in West London, but are there a lot of characters like Nobby who are just crazy football fans, unemployed, just layabouts? Do you have a lot of inspiration from real life to draw on in creating and writing this character?
Yes, I mean, it is. There are, you know, listen, all these comic characters, they're kind of unique. They don't really, no one as extreme as them actually really exists. You know, Borat doesn't quite exist. And so they're not representative, but there are minor versions of Nobby, yeah. The idea was, who would James Bond's idiot brother be? and I was like, okay, I got it. This guy Nobby, you know, a guy with like 9 to 11 kids who's sort of unemployed, drunk most of the time, does a tiny little bit of heroin. Not too much, though, because it is a family movie.
Sure.
So they end up on the road together fighting the biggest criminal organization in the world. Apart from FIFA, you know.
Right. Points. Mark Strong was the perfect guy to cast for this movie. He is so goddamn manly that you can't help but be amazed by what a great spy he is.
Yeah, he is. Well, the idea was, I approached this movie, it's sort of in the same way that I did Borat. With Borat, I said, let's make it a real documentary and then just have this ridiculous documentary subject in it. So this one was, you know, imagine if Marvel said, okay, we think James Bond is old-fashioned. Let's do a movie where we reinvent Bond. So let's reinvent, you know, the British spy franchise. And so I got together this action director, Louis Leterrier, who's done some Marvel movies and the Transformer movies, and Now You See Me. And we got together, like, some of the team from Star Wars, the special effects team from them, and the cinematographer of the Bourne movies and the Ridley Scott's prosthetics team. And so the idea was, let's get this really hardcore action film that's a new style of action, basically, and then let's stick an idiot in the middle of it. And that's the, so it's kind of Borat meets Jason Bourne.
What kind of response do you get? Do you read reviews? Do you get people who just can't stand the thought of your movies? And does that make you laugh?
Yeah, I mean, generally, I don't read responses because with my stuff, people either love it or hate it. So there's no one really, you don't really get people coming out going,
it's okay.
You know, so this movie in particular, I think, you know, there's about seven scenes in it that you will never have seen in any other movie or have imagined and may never be able to get out of your brain afterwards.
I need to see it now.
Same. We're talking to Sacha Baron Cohen here on The Kevin Beach Show. The film is called The Brothers Grimsby. I know that you are a very brave comedian and you will do almost anything if you find it funny. But are there any scenes that come to mind in your career that you just really dreaded doing? You knew it was going to be great. You knew you had to do it for the movie. But my God, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there was the naked fight scene in Borat. Originally, I was going to sit on the fat guy's face.
Yeah.
And then on the day, the director said, why doesn't he sit on your face?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. And then, but there was a logistical issue, which is his buttocks are so big. And he's so heavy that I could only really survive about 45 seconds under his, you know, under his buttocks before I ran out of oxygen.
Right.
So we had a code word, which was I would hit the mattress three times if I felt if I'd run out of oxygen. And, you know, the deal was the director would cut and, then, you know, he'd go off and I'd be able to breathe. And I wore this, like, little mask because I also didn't want my face actually touching.
Right, sure, sure.
Under that passage. And so anyway, if you actually look at the scene now, you see that I run out of breath and I hit the mattress three times.
Oh.
And I think the director didn't notice, either that or he just and he carried on filming. So I realized I'm underneath it. I'm stuck under this guy's buttocks. I can't breathe. I've run out of oxygen. And I've got this choice, which is either to breathe in the rancid air that has not seen the light of day for a while, or to die. And I pondered it for a few seconds, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to die.
I had a good run.
And I rolled off, and I've got to say, the mask that I had on my face disappeared. We never found it.
Oh, no. You stand up from the mat after filming a scene like that, and you look around, and you go, show business, right?
I go, yeah, look at the lucky life I lead.
Gotcha. Well, you are one of a kind. We see your name. We put down our money for a ticket, and we are excited about the Brothers Grimsby. And it's always a lot of fun to have you on, Sacha. Keep up the good work, and thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you for your support. Great to speak to you all again.
Thank you, man. Bye.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock FM. Good morning, boys and girls. Kevin and Bean are off... Well, we don't know what they're doing. We haven't heard from them. They may have passed.
Well, Bean just posted menu items at the
Let
diner
me believe
he's at.
Passed.
Okay.
Ralph, we're going to have to do a Bean vacation tweets when they get back.
Is he on a tear?
Yeah, there's only three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boys are
I thought
gone.
I had a break.
We nope. are, but we are doing live show business. And also, speaking of live, since Kevin and Bean have passed, we thought it would be a nice memorial.
Ralph, they're alive, both
would
of
be,
them are.
Shit! It would be a nice tribute to their memory to do a little what's good. Just because Kevin and Bean are gone. Look, life is for
Rest
the
in
living.
Peace.
Life is for the living. We have to move forward. We have to keep living.
See, they're actually
even
alive,
though.
Though
even though they're both gone.
The thing.
So,
just on vacation.
Let's talk about what's happening with you. Let's open up the phone lines and do a little what's good. Maybe you want to talk about the new Lakers coach. Luke Walton just got tapped, right? Is that the savior? Is that going to turn things around for the Lakers?
No, that's silly.
Do you have a heat wave horror story? Were you trapped? Was your car trapped in your garage because you had no power?
Sounds horrible.
Because the power went out in your home and you couldn't get to your car? Did that happen to you?
That is terrifying.
We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067 is a number to call. After the top of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines. And we'll talk about what's good, what's on your mind, what are we not talking about, what's new, what's fascinating, what's scintillating. All that we ask is that you be brilliant. That's all we ask if you call in. So if you're brilliant, give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. In the meantime, in show business news, today could be the day that the Stairway to Heaven plagiarism trial could be dismissed. USA Today is reporting that lawyers for the band told the judge that the estate of Spirits Randy California failed to prove that his 1968 instrumental Taurus was ripped off for Led Zeppelin's most famous song, Stairway to Heaven. Now, you're saying, wait a minute, hold on. This song was from 1968? That's right, you heard me. And they're just getting around to suing now. Both Jimmy Page and Robert Plant testified in a Los Angeles courtroom, along with bass player John Paul Jones. Plant said yesterday he wrote Stairway to Heaven in the English countryside with Jimmy Page, sitting by the fire in an old estate where the band rehearsed and recorded. They had never heard the song Taurus, they claimed. And Jimmy Page, by the way, said the opening riff of Stairway to Heaven probably sounds more like Chim Chimmery from Mary Poppins than anything else. Don't open yourself up to another lawsuit. Now Dick Van Dyke's going to sue you.
Oh, just covered in soot.
Yes, with a little brush. Oi, I think you stole my song. He'll come in with that awful British accent. What are you doing, Jimmy? Anyway, the whole thing could be wrapped up today. But in case you're curious to compare and contrast yourselves, we have the clips. We have Stairway to Heaven, and then we're going to play a little of Taurus from Spirit. And you let me know if you think there's anything here. First, Stairway to Heaven. Now, this is the song they say it was a ripoff of. No! No! Get out of my courtroom! It's just people playing guitar. It's
just you get Zippo!
You get nada. Zippo. You get nada. It's just two different people playing guitars with some people playing violins behind them. Stop it. Listen, go out and make some money on your own. Stop suing Led Zeppelin.
I think that guy's dead.
Oh, well, then, yeah. Why are we even here in this courtroom? Dismissed! Everyone! Yes, thank you.
And even
clear
more so than your discerning ear, we had Pamela Chellin in, who's covering it for The Wrap, and she told us something that none of us knew, that basically it's the copyright, which they had to then play the beginning of the song, which sounds nothing like the recorded version anyway.
I have no idea what any of those words mean.
It's not what it sounds like when you hear the songs. It's the actual written notes,
oh,
which actually sounds nothing like they're played in the recording.
So less. I got you.
It's insanity.
I hear you.
And I'd still do Robert Plant.
Oh, he looks like a British raisin with hair. Mm. Looks like a hairy British raisin.
That's gross, and I love it.
Like a raisin you found under your couch.
Come on.
With carpet fuzz on it.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
What's the worst thing you've had on your face? Allie? You want to talk about the worst thing you've ever had on your face? Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be doing a What's Good just at the top of the hour. The reason I ask what's the worst thing you've had on your face, Allie, is because Star Wars actress Daisy Ridley had something awful on her face. She was doing a do-it-yourself facial at home that went horribly wrong.
Oh, no.
This happened, by the way, the night before she had to go on set to start filming Star Wars.
Mm.
Okay. She was Googling at-home remedies for skin. That was your first mistake right there. Don't look anything up the internet and then put it on your face, right? So she decided to try a treatment that the recipe came from the internet.
Uh-oh.
Involving the spice turmeric. You familiar with turmeric?
I feel like it's spicy.
It is spicy. It's a spice used often in curried chicken.
Yes, yes.
It's delicious, but it is also touted for its anti-inflammatory properties.
Okay.
So she mixed up a batch of this stuff that she found on the internet. She says, in her words, she was slightly, a little too liberal with the herb, the spice turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about turmeric. It's yellow. In fact, it's often used in some countries as a dye for fabric.
Oh, no.
So she gets her facial. She puts her facial on,
mm-hmm.
and she ends up with a yellow face. Her face was yellow.
No, it dyed her whole face.
Her whole face. And so the next day she had to go on the set with a yellow face, and they had to cover it up with makeup because she had yellow face.
This is why you fail.
Right? Wow. That's what Yoda said to her. So what we're saying here is don't put stuff on your face that you find on the internet, I guess is what we're saying.
Right.
Unless you're into that sort of thing.
Whatnot.
Right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Faison, one of our favorites. Just had him on the show. 42 years old today. Remember him from Scrubs, of course, and his new show, Ask Me No Lies.
Really?
New game show.
Is that...
I can't remember the title.
Winsanity.
Winsanity.
So close, Ralph.
So close.
What?
MMA fighter Randy Couture is 53 years old today. Bruce Campbell. Oh, love Groovy Bruce from Ash vs. the Evil Dead, of course. 58 years old. Kurt Warner, former NFL quarterback, turns 45. Carson Daly, our good buddy down the hall there at AMP. And also the Today Show and The Voice. And he's got more jobs than anybody I know. 43 years old. He doesn't even have time to have a birthday today. That's how busy he is. He's going to push it off till next year. Cyndi Lauper, 63. Meryl Streep, legendary actress, turns 67. When we return, your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 as we do an all-live, all-new What's Good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. You are listening to Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-Rock FM. Of course, because the boys are gone, we are paying tribute to them. We are doing one of their favorite segments called What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Every day, of course, we talk about a lot of stuff on the air, but we know there's stuff we're missing, stuff that you're thinking about, stuff you want to talk about, and that's why we open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you got something you want to talk about. Why listen to the show when you can be part of the show?
And how often do you get Ralph Garman in here to help you? Maybe you have a question that no one can answer. Ralph can. Maybe you have a problem
a
that you need advice in. And no, you're like, I can't talk to Kevin and Bean about this. If only Ralph would take my call.
Wow.
Now is the time.
This is your opportunity? Is that
yep,
what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of me and things that I love, Brian from Walnut, I think he's got a question that I could probably address. Good morning, Brian. What's good?
Hey, Ralph. What's good?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, first of all, RIP Kevin and Bean.
I know. They will
so
be missed.
Sad.
So sad.
So
they will be missed. Yeah. But I have a Bachelorette question.
Yes, sir.
Did you see the previews for The Bachelor in Paradise?
Oh, hell yes, Brian. Yes, I did, sir.
And Chad is back.
Chad is back.
Oh,
Chad
no.
is going to be on Bachelor in Paradise, or BIP, as we like to call
sure.
it, those of us in
sure.
the know. Crazy
sure.
Chad.
What exactly is Bachelor in Paradise, for those that don't know?
Bachelor in Paradise is when they take the losers from the Bachelor and Bachelorette shows, the ones who could not find love mm-hmm. on those shows, and then they pack them together on a beach in Mexico, and they make them live in a house,
oh.
and you have to be paired up with someone else
okay.
each week in order to maintain your status on the show. If not, if you're a loner, mm-hmm. boom, you get booted off, and then they constantly bring in new contestants, men and women, as the show goes on.
So what do you win?
Love.
Oh.
Are they there for the right reasons?
They're there for the right reasons.
I don't believe any of that's true.
It isn't, because the producers are bringing Crazy Chad in, Roid Rage Chad,
yes.
just to mix things up. Brian,
yeah,
are you excited about this?
Yeah, this is the first Bachelorette I've actually watched, and I only watch because you guys do the report every week.
Right. And you got to see the magic of Chad.
Yeah, but I was kind of disappointed because he didn't murder anybody like the previews showed.
Yes, but Bachelor in Paradise, here's his chance. Here's his chance to actually murder someone. So that's,
yeah,
that's what we're all hoping for,
God.
I think. Brian, good news, too, by the way. They're going to do a live recap show after Bachelor in Paradise this season.
Ralph.
And I don't want to make any promises,
okay.
but there have been rumors, perhaps, that I will be visiting with Chris Harrison
awesome.
And talking about
nice.
Bachelor in Paradise.
With his little hands.
Stop it.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Brian, thanks for calling, man. Let's go to Katie in Highland. Let's see what Katie has on her mind. Katie, what's good?
What's good, Ralph?
What's good, Katie?
Hi, Katie.
What do you got?
All right. I need an update. What's going on with Comic-Con?
Oh, okay. You know, each and every year we try to get down to San Diego for the Comic-Con and do a live broadcast from there, Kevin and Bean.
I know. You stood me up last year. I know.
We wanted to be there last year. We just couldn't make it happen. However, and I can't confirm 100%, but let's say 75% certain that we will be there this year for Comic-Con, Katie.
Yes.
Okay, you going to be in the same spot?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll meet you in that same spot we're always at.
Meet us there.
No.
Camp out.
We're going to probably be someplace different, but wherever it is, we will tell you when we know where that is, and then you can come see us. Are you going to Comic-Con?
Yes.
All right. Well,
what if she said no?
I'm just wondering if you guys were.
I'm just going to drive down there just to see you guys.
Well, we would love to see you, Katie. And like I said, things look really good that we're going to be there. And as soon as we have confirmation, we'll talk all about it. But hopefully we'll see you in San Diego next month.
All right. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Trent in Newport Beach. I'm glad we're talking about this because a lot of people love this show, and yet it's one of those shows that nobody on our staff here watches.
Which is bizarre.
Which is bizarre. It's talking about, of course, Game of Thrones. Trent, what's good?
What's good, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
This last Game of Thrones episode might have been the best one so far. It's been crazy. Like, Daenerys Targaryen, Mother of Dragons, comes in swooping down, throwing fire on people from her dragons, and then Battle of the Bastards. There's two guys, Jon Snow and Ramsay, and they're fighting each other. Jon Snow fight for his home in Winterfell. Outnumbered, he's got nobody, and then somebody at the last minute comes in, swoops in to help him out.
Right.
He's got a big giant helping him out. It's crazy to see.
Now, is Ramsay the one that killed, like, his whole family and kills babies and stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
He's
Dave,
awful.
Producer Dave, King of Mexico, is here. Dave, you watched the show.
Oh, it was an amazing episode.
It was like Trent, a giant like battle scene, right?
Yes, it was a giant war where the Battle of the Bastards, they called it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Where Jon Snow took on Ramsay Bolton.
Right.
Hey, Trent, do you think Ramsay got what he deserved?
Oh, man. He got eaten. How could he not deserve that?
Jon Snow ate him?
Well,
I'm trying to follow along.
Well, Ramsay would torture people.
Right,
he was a terrible, terrible person.
Yes.
And one of the ways he tortured people was he would let his dogs eat people.
He's the one that sent the dogs after that woman. She was holding the baby.
Oh,
yes.
Dog eater.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, so that's the way he went out.
Well, good.
A lot of this sounds like MMA commentary. The Battle of the Bastards, and he tortures people, and he
Hell
deserves what
cell.
He got.
It sounds very
It kind of was Hell in a Cell. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
All right, Trent, thanks for giving us the Game of Thrones update. We appreciate it. We were talking about, earlier in the showbiz, we were talking about bad things you had on your face. Because
yep.
Daisy Ridley from Star Wars was putting on a
Home facial. Yeah.
A concoction she got off the internet involving turmeric, which is a yellow spice, and it made her face all yellow.
Yeah, that's
so
not good.
So we're talking about bad things on your face. I think Sandy in Hollywood has a bad face story. Sandy, what's the worst thing you had on your face?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's good?
This wasn't exactly good. It's funny now, but I was a middle school teacher, and the assignment was to study a biological animal. I taught biology. So,
oh, a biological teacher animal instead of one of those mechanical animals.
Yeah. I meant like an animal. Some kind of. I taught
and you
biology.
Taught biology, did you, Sandy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, those poor kids. So what happened?
So most of them brought, like, photos in or stuff like that. Well, this chick brought in a tarantula,
mm-hmm.
and she took it out, and I let her put it on my arm. I tried to show confidence, an air of confidence and no fear, and
right.
and before you know it, it had crawled into my hair, and it was crawling up, and I'm, like, kind of trying to hold it together, but by the time it hit my forehead, I was screaming and trying not to move, but just making a lot of noise, and they finally got it off when it was on my chin.
Yeah.
So that was probably not fun, but it was good to hear about now.
Yeah. Who wants something big and hairy on their chin, though, right? Isn't that what we're talking
Ralph.
About?
Ralph.
Depends.
All right, Sandy. Back to class for you. One more call. Let's talk to Caleb in Los Angeles. I love a good roommate story. I think Caleb's got one. Caleb, what's good?
Hi, Ralph. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, man, I need to testify. Recently, last week, I lived with a roommate, and I took some Molly.
Okay. This is, by the way,
woke up and,
There's no way this story could end well. I live with a roommate, and I took some Molly.
I woke up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. I had to urinate really bad.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I went into his room, and since he has a sliding door, I peed in his bedroom on the carpet instead of opening the door.
So because he had a sliding door, you thought,
oh,
I could use the floor?
I'm not going to open the door.
No, I'm not going to open the door. And the good thing, we have a dog, so I blamed it on the dog.
Oh,
Caleb.
You're a bad person on every level.
Caleb, what's your roommate's name so we can apologize on the air?
Joshua.
Why would you say his name, Caleb?
Joshua, it was not the dog. It was Caleb. So roll up a newspaper and hit him in the nose with it. Hit Caleb right in the face with that newspaper.
I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
What's good? Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Kevin's going to deny this happens, but I do hear from a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners who are fans of this feature.
Right.
Enjoy the death.
Yeah.
And what's going on with those people? What do you think's happening with the people who
they're
love
damaged?
The really?
Yes.
That's the only possibility? I'm fascinated with the way some people die because no one wakes up in the morning expecting that today's the day. And I'm just always surprised, you know, by the various ways that people can go. Like Andre Morena, for instance, in Mexico City, he was briefly famous last year as he was declared the fattest man in the world. Now, who could have ever seen that he would have an untimely demise? He was 977 pounds last year, by the way. But he did go into surgery. He went into one of those places that do the big gastric bypasses.
Right.
And he lost 132 pounds. So he was down to 710 pounds over Christmas, which had to be looking good, right?
Well, I mean, only compared to the 900 and however many, 77 pounds.
Mr. Moreno was 38 years old. He died of a heart attack recently, and the doctors said they believe it was caused by the fact that he drank too many energy drinks. He was drinking up to 6 cans of energy drinks per day. They said that it was the equivalent of 42 cans of Coca-Cola that he was drinking per day.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know what kind of energy drinks they have down there in Mexico, but that sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I would imagine it would be tough with a guy who's over 700 pounds and at one point had been close to 1,000. It would be tough to pinpoint the specific cause of death.
Yeah, it wasn't just that.
But
it was also the fact that he weighed 1,000 pounds. That had something to do with it.
Here's a young woman in Marina, California. She, sad story how she died. She was a drug addict who, the day she was released from rehab, went into the parking lot in her Volkswagen Jetta, went into the parking lot of a Walmart store in Salinas, and overdosed. Okay, so she died. Now, that part of the story is very sad. What I found fascinating is she died November 13th. They just found her in her car this week.
Oh,
her car
man.
Sat in the parking lot of a Walmart in California for 3 months.
What?
How does nobody notice?
That isn't
possible. That's insane.
This is for reals. Now, there was an open missing person case, but what kind of a job were they doing if nobody in the course of 3 months noticed this car sitting in the parking lot and called it in or something?
Because all they would have had to do was
match the license plate and they would have found the woman.
Kevin rejects your story.
I don't think that she could be dead in the parking lot of a Walmart. They have people that go around and...
Yeah, so Walmart spokesperson said they do have personnel patrolling overnight. They also have 24-hour surveillance cameras, but nobody had noticed the car for 3 months. Yes. So I am with you, Kevin, that I have questions about how that happened, but it's still a bizarre story. All right. Speaking of bizarre, what if I were to tell you that there's a man in Death Corner today who was killed in a way that there is no record of anyone in the history of the world ever being killed by?
A man in India, a bus driver identified as V. Kamaraj, has died after suffering severe injuries by apparently being hit by a meteorite.
He got hit by a meteorite.
The first person in recorded history to die in such a manner, according to NASA. There was a noise like a big explosion, said the principal of the college in the district. It was an abnormal sound that could be heard at least 2 miles away. Now, apparently, lots of people throughout history have been injured by meteorites. There was one that exploded over Russia in 2013 that just sprayed everywhere and injured 1,000 people.
Yeah, I don't want to know about those losers. I just want to know about the winner.
Yeah.
How about, you know, it's funny because when people talk about the long odds of winning the lottery, people will often say things like, yeah, you're more likely to get killed by a meteorite.
Yeah.
But it actually happened to this guy. What are the chances if you're the first person who's ever been killed in this particular way?
I mean, really?
The meteorite left a 4-foot deep crater and shattered windows of classrooms and nearby vehicles. The explosion also injured 2 gardeners and a student at the school. But the man was killed. Here's one that made me think of Beer Mug, by the way. This is the Krispy Kreme Challenge that goes on every year in Raleigh, North Carolina. You guys familiar with this?
No.
It's an annual 5-mile race for charity, and I love the idea of this. This is where you run 2.5 miles,
right.
Then you eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts,
right,
and then you run the last 2.5 miles.
Yummy.
And you get sponsors. It's called the Krispy Kreme Challenge. Tens of thousands of people every year sign up for this. It is the 12th year that they have done this, raising money for the University of North Carolina's Children's Hospital. And one of the runners in the Krispy Kreme Challenge died on the track. The sad news for him is he died in the first 2.5 miles.
Oh, he didn't get his donuts.
He didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme.
Oh. Yummy.
Like, you wouldn't think there could possibly be any more bad news than you died while running this charity race.
Geez.
But now it's even worse because you didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme donuts.
His eyes were locked on those donuts,
yeah, they
man.
Were.
It was just all he saw.
Eyes on the prize. Dead.
He didn't even
dead.
Make it. Who's with me? Let's get Muggs to run the rest of this race in his honor.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Why was Kanye West on the Ellen DeGeneres Show?
I don't know.
What's he promoting?
Kanye West.
Okay. All right. It's just Kanye being Kanye?
Pretty much, yeah.
Have you regretted anything that you've tweeted?
Nope.
Nothing. Never. You don't go, maybe I should have thought about that a little longer?
What's the point of thinking?
All right, so answer this question. Is that him being truthful or him just deflecting?
No, it's deflecting.
Right?
It's just him self-absorbed. He knows exactly what he's going on there for, and he's just going to get as little across as possible to get people talking.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. Am I wrong? Am I being fooled here? Because
yeah.
I think he honestly doesn't regret any of his tweets.
That's
honestly.
Possible, but if he did, would he tell her?
Absolutely not.
Maybe not.
All right, so now she asks him why he wanted Mark Zuckerberg to give him $53 million. And by the way, I didn't have time to play this, but he said that he had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, who promised him that they would fund his clothing and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah.
Oh.
So he was explaining to her why he needed the money.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period. The paparazzi, whatever perception you have of me, starting with the truth, start there, put some dope with it.
Yeah! Let's all applaud. I don't know
audience.
Why we're applauding. He said, start with the truth and put some dope S on it.
Do you think they hit a button to get the audience to applaud? Because they
yes.
sounded oh, absolutely.
Very confused yeah. right up until that moment when they all spontaneously decided to clap.
All right, here's a bit of a longer clip, and you just have to tell me what's going on here because I'm not sure.
The exact amount of emotion and color palette and sonics and everything that I put into my music, I put them into the shoes, and they worked. You know, people never write, they'd be like, Kanye's pissing everybody off. Kanye's making so mad. They try to position it through the media in some way that I'm like, whatever your friends might say. You know, so we saw Kanye, how was he? Did he like, but I care about people. Picasso is dead.
Here's the good part.
Huh. Hmm.
Steve Jobs is dead. Walt Disney is dead. Name somebody living. That you can name in the same breath as them. I feel that I can make a difference while I'm here. I feel that I can make things better through my skill set. My skills, I'm an artist. 5 years old, art school, PhD, Art Institute of Chicago. I am an artist. I have a condition called synesthesia where I see sounds. I see them. Everything that I sonically make is a painting. I see it. I see the importance. I see the importance and the value of everyone being able to experience
when do we clap?
A more beautiful life. When I make clothes, it's funny because I'll sit there with Obama and Leo's talking about the environment, and then I'm talking about clothes, and everyone looks at me like, that's not an important issue or something. But I remember going to school, like, in fifth grade and wanting to have a cool outfit. I called the head of Payless. I'm like, I want to work with you. I want to take all this information that I learned from sitting at all these fashion shows and knocking at all these doors and buying all this expensive clothes, and I want to take away bullying.
What? Should we applaud?
You know, I want to.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Hold on.
He wants to take away bullying, Bean, because everybody will have dope shoes.
First of all, this is the worst TED Talk ever. But second of all... You know, people do have that synesthesia that he's talking about. Lord has that, where she can see sounds. Did you
if
know that?
You actually had that, would you surround yourself by Kardashians?
That's a good point.
Good point.
I think that Kanye is not an articulate person. As great as he is writing lyrics for his rap songs, off the cuff, he is not an articulate person. I think in his mind, he knows what it is he's trying to say, but he is terrible at presenting that information to the rest of us with words.
I feel like Ellen did the right thing, though, and just let him talk.
Oh, yeah. Just noticed that Ellen hasn't said a word in 8 minutes.
So then he ends that whole diatribe, that whole, like, 10-minute monologue by apologizing for something.
I'm sorry, daytime television. I'm sorry for the realness.
If he'll leave, we'll applaud.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Come on.
Ellen destroys him on this one because she starts talking to him about his kids, and he says his kids are really advanced. And Ellen, at the end of this, is hilarious.
And how is the North is a big sister? She's good?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Does she do anything to, like, take care of him, or she's too young?
No, she does. She's really advanced for her age.
What does she do?
She'll prop him up on the pillow sometimes.
That does sound advanced.
How great was that?
That's funny.
And then they played a game. Do you want to hear that or no? It's quick.
I'm exhausted. Okay.
5 seconds of truth is the name of it. Basically, it's name three things in 5 seconds.
Ellen, tell us three things you shave or wax.
Your legs, your arms, your back.
All right, Kanye, give us three things that are hairy.
Balls, balls, balls.
He's not wrong. He just saved that appearance.
Wow.
Yeah, boy.
You listen to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. The boys are on vacation, but I am here bringing you live showbiz beats along with the lovely and talented Ally McKay.
Hello.
Chip the Wonder Monkey behind the board there.
On the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos. That was a groove right there. That was a stone groove.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at all the new showbiz news. It's official. Nice casting move on the part of Supergirl, which starts its next season, of course, on the CW. There had been rumors, and now it is official. They have cast Linda Carter, TV's Wonder Woman, will be playing the President of the United States next season on Supergirl.
Nice.
How awesome is that?
She's amazing. And have you seen her lately?
She has barely
aged.
Good
Lord.
Since she was Wonder Woman in the 70s. Boy, I had a thing for Wonder Woman.
Oof. You'd let her tie her up with that lasso.
Oh, yeah.
She's a bitch.
No. No, Kevin.
Tie this up right here.
What?
She'll be on the new season when it premieres October 10th on the CW after being moved, of course, from CBS. So that's good news. More TV news. Archer, if you watch Archer over on FX, has been renewed by the FX network, not just for a 9th, but for a 10th season as well.
Wow.
Season 8 begins next year, 2017. Each season will consist of 8 episodes. according to Deadline.com. H. John Benjamin, of course, is the voice of Archer. So funny on that show. Aisha Tyler, Jessica Walter, Chris Parnell, Judy Greer. Great cast, and one of my favorite shows. So that's good news. The classic TV show Cheers is heading to the stage.
Huh.
This is odd. It's called Cheers Live. It is a two-hour show based on some of the best moments from the sitcom.
Okay.
It will open in Boston, naturally.
Shocking.
And then go on a nationwide tour. No original cast members of the TV show will be involved in this production. So I can't imagine the appeal.
Mm-mm.
Not cool.
Although I did a show called The Real Life Brady Bunch
right. Many
years ago, which was actors recreating episodes of The Brady Bunch live on stage. But we did it sort of as a spoof.
Sure.
Satire of that show. And we did impressions of the characters and stuff. I can't imagine they'll do that with Cheers Live, will they?
I feel like that's the only way it would work. No?
Now I have to go. Thanks.
All right.
Now I have to go.
I'm sorry.
Now I have to watch.
Okay.
Hairspray Live is still a thing happening on NBC. They just announced another cast member. Kristen Chenoweth will be added to the cast. She'll play Velma Von Tussle, producer.
Oh, that's perfect for her.
Of the Corny Collins show. She is played by Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie, if you saw the feature film. Kristen joins Harvey Fierstein and Jennifer Hudson. Martin Short, also in the show. Martin Short last night, of course, was on Maya and Marty. Why are you laughing?
Because I can't wait. If it's Martin Short, it's going to be Jiminy
right.
Glick.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I don't know if he'll do Jiminy Glick on Hairspray Live, but he did it last night on Maya and Marty, the variety show he does with Maya Rudolph. I watched that show. Now, the show is very hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
It's been up and down. There's been some funny sketches, but for the most part, I think it has struggled. But one moment in the show that I look forward to, the reason I watch each and every week, is Jiminy Glick and his interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Jiminy sat down with Ricky Gervais, so you can imagine those two together. There's an extended version of the interview that was on the show last night online. I recommend you check out the extended version because it's about 10 minutes long. And Ricky Gervais is just busting up at Jiminy Glick, as you can imagine. Here is Jiminy interviewing Ricky about his cat. You know, he has a cat.
Always tweeting about
always
his cat.
Always got pictures of his cat. And Jiminy has some thoughts on that.
Here's my question. You keep cats.
I got one cat as a pet.
A cat?
I've got a cat. It's not a keep cat.
I know, but you keep a cat, and usually you think of Miss Havisham or some mental person in a room who hasn't left for about 12 years. I was rejected. I think if you are a grown man and you have a cat, right away, people say, keep him away from the children.
Keep him away from the children. Come on! Listen, NBC,
Jiminy.
Just do an hour of that.
Oh,
just do that.
I'd be so in for that.
Oh, my Lord, he's the best. Selma Blair lost her mind on a plane. Not a good place to lose your mind.
Mm-mm.
Suffered a bit of a breakdown at 30,000 feet. She was returning from a beach vacation in Cancun with her 4-year-old son and ex-boyfriend. Don't go on vacation with your exes, by the way. It's not a good idea. Maybe, did they have a son together? Is that what
I think it's her ex-husband, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It says here, ex-boyfriend, but either way. She was on board, and that's when things started to go south. At one point in the flight, she started yelling about how someone burns her private parts. That's a quote, by the way. What an interesting way to phrase it. If you're losing your mind, are you polite enough while you're screaming on the airplane to say, call it private parts?
Right, wouldn't you be like, my hoo-ha's on fire?
Right. I'm going to need that tape, Chip. Burns my private parts. He won't let me eat or drink. He beats me, and he's going to kill me, she said about someone. Maybe the ex, maybe Satan? I don't know. Who knows who she was talking about? Witnesses suspected she may have mixed pills with her glass of wine.
Oof.
Never a good combination. She was taken off the plane on a stretcher when the plane landed and was transported to a local hospital. So that's not good news.
I feel like maybe some therapy is good, just in case those are some repressed things.
Yeah, right. Who knew who was burning her? Was it a friction burn?
Alrighty.
I'm just wondering how it burns.
Chemical burn, maybe?
Chemical burn?
Oh, I've had some bad waxes.
Did she use Nair?
Well, you shouldn't use snare on your hoo-ha.
If you take nothing else away from today's show.
Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Clyde Drexler. Clyde the Glide, former NBA star, 54 years old today. Now he's doing those beard dye commercials, isn't he? Isn't he doing that with Keith Hernandez? Aren't those the two guys who do the Just for Men beard dyeing commercials? Come on, why are you looking at me so strange? It's a thing.
Yes, sure.
I don't know. Donald Faison's 42 years old. MMA fighter Randy Couture celebrates his 53rd birthday. Bruce Campbell, one of our favorites from Ash versus the Evil Dead, of course, 58. Kurt Warner, former NFL Super Bowl winning quarterback, 45 years old. Our buddy Carson Daly celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Cyndi Lauper, 63. And actress Meryl Streep is 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Filmmaker, musician, artist, TV host, all-around great guy, our friend Dave Navarro, back in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's always great to see you. It's so funny. I don't know why this just flashed through my mind. When I saw you walk through the door, I thought you died on Sons of Anarchy, didn't you?
I did.
How was that?
That was a lot of fun. That was so much fun to watch myself get shot in the head and have my brain matter spray onto a car window. I mean, I didn't foresee that ever happening in my life.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
You know, Kevin and I have never been invited to appear on TV, but we always say that if we did, we would want to die. That just looks like the most fun thing as an actor is to have a death scene.
Well, you know, I think everybody on the show was pretty excited about it because they came to learn that I am not an actor either. So they were like, let's kill this guy as soon as possible. But yeah, it was cool. And because there was like a huge special effects department and they had to spray blood that looked like it was coming out of my head. So there was really only one take because there would just destroyed the interior of a car. It was pretty crazy.
How did you end up on that show? You said you're not an actor. You've certainly done some acting, but
yeah, I've done some. I'm friends with Kurt Sutter, and he initially hit me up to be a part of doing a song with Jane's Addiction, a cover of Sympathy for the Devil.
That's right.
For the show.
Yeah.
And as a result of that conversation, he's like, hey, man, why don't you come in and be a cast member for a couple of episodes? I was super stoked because I thought I was going to be in the Sons. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to be in Sons of Anarchy.
No, right. You just don't walk in.
I guess you don't. So I got there, and they're like, oh, no, you're in the Mexican gang. Wow. This is racial profiling.
How you coming to me like that, you said?
I was really upset about it, but it was, you know what? I got to tell you, there was a moment where I first started acting with them, and the whole motorcycle, the MC, was with me. I was on the opposing gang, and Charlie Hunnam steps up. The sun is behind me, and it's shining into his pearly blue eyes.
Right.
And I swear to you, I'll tell you, I got lost for a moment.
Well, he's pretty handsome.
I was like,
he's pretty dreamy.
I literally dropped a line. I'll admit this to you.
You dropped a line.
I dropped a line because I was transfixed.
You couldn't take your eyes off of his eyes.
I entered some weird space-time continuum. Lots of fun.
Well, Dave, as I said, it's been a while since you've been in. It's great to see you. What are you doing musically these days?
Musically, believe it or not, 25th anniversary of Ritual, De Lo Habitual, Jane's Addiction.
That's
not
possible.
It is. I know. I remember 8 of those years. So to me, it feels like 8 years, but 25 years. And I am we're going to go do some shows around the country and in Europe to celebrate the anniversary of the album. And I think we're looking at bringing in some of the old school Lollapalooza acts back to do some
cool
shows with us.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, we have our hands in different pots right now.
And is the status of Jane's good right now?
I think so, because I haven't seen anybody in 6 months. So
okay,
the longer we go, the happier we are.
Will you guys ever make another record?
That's a good question. I think that we will probably make songs. You know,
right,
in this environment,
not
it's
necessarily
just
a whole.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I don't know if anybody wants to be. I mean, I won't say no, but I'm not sure if anybody wants to spend the month or two in the studio anymore, especially in this environment where it's like, you know, people don't buy records anymore.
We always talk about bands that break up. Do you feel like it would be healthy for bands to take more time off than they do?
I don't know. I mean, we've broken up a number of times.
Right.
And when I look back at the scope of the career, I just think of those as breaks. So maybe it would have been, you know, I don't know. But we also haven't been the most prolific band either. We put out 2 studio albums with our original lineup and then 2 albums with the new lineup. You know, whereas, you know, you got a lot of these bands got, you know, look at Dave Grohl has beat us.
Yeah.
You know, we started before Foo Fighters. I mean, it's crazy.
Would you say that you're lazy? Would you go that far?
I would say, yes, I would, actually. You know why? But I will defend my laziness.
Yes, please.
They keep making great television shows, and I'm almost 50 years old, and I just like watching TV and doing nothing.
Amen.
Well,
amen,
brother.
That's what
he
I wanted.
Me.
You know what I mean?
You in?
Like,
yes.
I can watch the new Billions, or I can write a song. I'll go with Billions.
Speaking of TV, Dave, I can't believe that Ink Master is in its seventh season starting this week.
You know, I can't believe it either.
Seven seasons. For folks who haven't seen this show on Spike, these are, and let's face it, we all acknowledge that tattoo artists are tremendous artists if they're doing it right. And it's crazy over the years how many people you've had on this show that just do work in front of your eyes that blows you away.
Yeah.
I mean, did you was there a time where you were worried, hey, we're going to run out of great people to get on this show?
Yeah, because there is, when it comes to tattooing and tattoo artists, you know, it's a very old, sacred craft. And, you know, to put it on TV is, you know, it's very dangerous, you know, to take something that's that personal, that respected, that much of a craft and put it in a reality show context it's dangerous. And I was worried that, you know, the community would kind of push against it. But I think after the 7 years, it's proven to be very helpful for a lot of these artists to come on it for their careers. And, you know, frankly, it educates the public and drives people into shops.
The thing that surprised me about this series is that there's way more drama than you would think.
Yeah, and I know that is manufactured. And that's interesting. I get asked that a lot.
They basically want to kill each other.
Yeah,
well, they want to win is what they want to do.
But here's what we do, which is very, very inhumane and unfair, which I love about the program, is we take really creative, volatile people and put them in a fixed environment with no connection to the outside world.
Good.
As much as they can drink in a lockdown facility where they can't leave and all they have to do is interact with each other and be under tremendous pressure with no sleep. To me, that's the makings of drama right there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's horrible. I mean, it's inhumane. But
it's good TV.
It's good TV. And the $100,000 is not really what matters. I mean, the longer they're on the show,
the more thing?
No, it's a infomercial
for their business.
The United States. Because they leave the show, then half of these people get booked for the next 2 years.
Oh,
it's insane.
Interesting.
So, the $100,000 really isn't that big of a deal. It's after taxes, it ends up being like a mid-level Mercedes.
What's your worst tattoo, the one that you regret that you have on
your
body?
Well, it's weird because my worst tattoo is a tribal armband mm-hmm. on my mm-hmm. left arm, but it was a great experience. So even some of my worst tattoos are good memories.
Dave has a documentary out that I knew nothing about this part of your life, Dave, and it was so shocking to me to hear this story, and I think it's an important story for people to see. It's called Morning Sun, and it's morning with a U. What's it about?
It's, well, in 1983, my mother was murdered by her then-boyfriend, and he was on the run for about 10 years until the FBI and the police caught him via America's Most Wanted. And
it took, 11 years?
It was about 8 years.
8 years.
Eight,
okay.
9 years. And it happened when I was 15 years old. And it's the story of that crime. It's a story of my mom. It's a story of my struggles with drug addiction and getting through trauma. And
Talk a little bit about why you sort of have to relive that trauma to get to the other side or to continue living.
It's interesting you bring that up. You know, one of the things about trauma is that it physically manifests itself in the body. Okay, so any traumatic event that you've had maybe when you were a child or years and years ago, there's a physical memory of that that's attached to your physical body and in your brain, in your inner workings of your brain. And anytime you run into a dangerous situation from then on, that trauma can get re-triggered and you will have the same manifestation physically as if, because it knows no time boundaries. So you'll have the same manifestation of that trauma in the present day as you did when you were, say, a kid. So to put a story that's traumatic in a linear narrative and to put the pieces together and find solution to healing in the end and also be a voice for other victims of domestic violence is a really profound and great way to deal with the trauma.
Did you know going into it that that's sort of what you needed to do?
No. In fact, we didn't know. We just wanted to make a film. We didn't know how to make a film because, as you guys are finding out, I'm a huge cinephile.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my, believe it or not, my first love is, artistically speaking, is film. Second would be music. So my big escapism.
Third would be your couch.
Yeah, probably. My bedroom was like a king size bed, and it's way that's where the 80 inches.
It's gotta be crazy for you to love movies so much, and then realize, hey, I want to make a movie.
Yeah, that's exactly why we wanted to make the movie, and we picked the subject matter because I happen to know it very well.
Congratulations, Dave.
I mean, it really does
sound like a powerful film, and I can't wait to see it. It's available now on all the platforms, right? iTunes and Google Play and YouTube,
Amazon.
Amazon. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, guys.
There's a city in England, Salford, in Greater Manchester, which has banned foul language. Foul and abusive language is now against the law.
Huh.
Weird, right?
How do you impose that?
Well, they can give you a ticket.
Okay.
Which comes to about $127. I guess if it's a smaller crime, it's a sort of an insult.
Right.
And then if it's bad enough, they can take you to court and fine you over $1,000.
Well, but what some people think is a bad word, other people don't.
Right. This is put into effect by the Anti-Social Behavior Crime and Policing Act of 2014. So we thought that we would get somebody on the phone to further clarify this. And Dave, the King of Mexico, has gotten us a council member in Salford named Richard Critchley. Good morning, Richard. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, hello. Hello. Thank you for having me on the program.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for being on the air with us.
I already said thank you.
Thank you, though.
We appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. You're very civil, and you're very polite, and I like that. I appreciate it, and all of us here at Salford are very much behind that sort of behavior, not the antisocial behavior that we're trying to stamp out.
What kind of antisocial behavior has been happening there that you need to take these extreme measures?
Well, the sad part is that people are just getting less and less civil, not only here in the UK, but abroad. And we here in Salford are taking great care to try to create the best behavior possible amongst the citizenry.
Okay.
And so we have outlawed foul, abusive language, as well as other inappropriate and rude behavior that just simply makes life less worth living.
Now, well, how do you define foul and abusive? Because to some it may be, to some it may not be.
Well, of course, this will be a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. It will be brought in the courts as we give the police more leverage in terms to reinforce and enforce these laws. So, of course, that question of foul abusive language has been brought up as a question of, is it a matter of taste? And we don't believe so. We believe there is a general standard held by reasonable citizens, and we'll recognize the language when we hear it. For example, if I were to call you a face, that would be an example of something would be rude and foul.
Yes.
And also abusive, I believe.
Agree.
So, don't be a big smelly ass.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
is
about
that
all of that
foul and abusive as well?
Yes, of course it would be, yes. So just another example of language we're trying desperately to keep from being used here in Salford.
Now, you're going to give the cops the ability just to write tickets on the spot?
Oh, yes, of course. They will be expected to enforce what is known as the Anti-Social Behavior Crime and Policing Act. And it wouldn't have much teeth, of course, unless we gave our constables the ability to write tickets for such a penalty of £90, or an annual summons to appear in court, where if they are convicted, they could be fined up to £1,000.
Wow.
So either way, they will be held responsible for their behavior. So I was saying, you know, don't be a big lip about it. Then that's the best way to avoid the situation. If you're a giant-faced then I think you will run afoul of the law, and that's the best way that we can reinforce that.
Now, are they able to give you a ticket for that kind of language?
Oh, well, I was just simply using examples, of
I
course,
see.
Of the kind of language we don't want to hear anymore. Mm-hmm. And if anyone were to use that sort of language, then they would be a smelly
it's real descriptive.
So, don't be like that. Nope. Be civilized and use language that isn't foul and abusive. Don't say things like mother. Mother.
Why would somebody say that? Why would somebody say those words in that order? Richard.
If you're very upset, you might be tempted to call someone a mother.
That's not something anyone would ever say anywhere.
Good. Then you're welcome at Salford at any time.
I am so grateful that I am not a sleepwalker. The stories I see in the news about people who sleepwalk terrify me.
Yeah.
Like, what's the story in the news that's brought it back to our
thing? It's out of Manchester, England, 4 a.m. on Sunday. A guy walks out of his hotel completely naked, walks out to the curb, starts walking around the center square, and then decides he wants to hail a cab. And a cop saw this and was like, well, there's a naked guy trying to hail a cab. So they went over and they determined, it says in the article, they determined that it was not a prank and that this guy was not lying, that he was literally asleep.
All right. Let's take some sleepwalker stories. Let's try with Brian first up on line one in Irvine. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there. Are you a sleepwalker?
I'm a sleepwalker. I haven't done it for years, but I've had sleepwalking. I've had sleep paralysis, too, but I had kind of a funny sleepwalking story when I was a kid. My parents had a lot of friends over. They were all having dinner. I went to bed. I was probably 5, 6 years old. I walked out, and just in front of everybody, they could tell I was sleepwalking, so no one woke me up. And I just said, hey, Mom, I have to go to the bathroom. And I proceeded to take it out and urinate in front of everybody.
In front of all your friends?
At a dinner party?
In front of everybody.
That's interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Nicole, line five, please. She is in Santa Monica.
I'm a total sleepwalker. And when I was a kid, I had to be hospitalized because I had cancer. And so my mom stayed in the hospital with me all night long. And the nurse, the night nurse, came in to give me my meds, and I wasn't there. And she had to wake my mom up and say, where's Nicole? And they had no idea where I was. It turns out I got up with my IV, everything hooked into me, and rolled it down with me to the public restroom on the east wing of the children's unit, UCLA.
Wow, that's so weird. I assume you had a restroom in your room.
I had a restroom in my room.
Wow.
All right, Nicole. Hey, glad you're okay. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Let's go to Long Beach. Line four, this is going to be Robert. If you're going to be asleep, you might as well have fun doing it. Right, Robert?
I think it's just muscle memory. You know, you're good at things that you do well.
Oh, take it easy.
So, yeah, it's happened to me at least, you know, 3-4 times a year where I'll just be sleeping and all of a sudden I'll wake up in the middle of, you know, doing the horizontal mambo and be like, and my wife is loving it, and I'm like, hey, oh, hey, how are you?
Oh, no!
So you started having sex with your wife and were still asleep.
Yes, and it happens regularly where she now sort of kind of understands it happens and just accepts it and
just takes advantage of it.
How does she feel about you at your age still calling it the horizontal mambo?
Well, I know how to dance. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You sleepwalk?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do more the paranormal activity thing where I'll stand above you and hover and stare at you for hours.
Oh, that's scary. To who? Do you have a husband, boyfriend?
Yes, I have a husband. We've been together 28 years. And when he first spent the night with me, I went to bed wearing one outfit. I came out. He was sleeping on the couch. And I had a black shroud over my head, and I was staring at him.
Holy that is a straight deal breaker right there.
How did you get a second date with this guy?
Well, how did he end up marrying me?
Yes.
That's a great question.
We have a lot of questions about your husband.
All right, well, Stephanie.
If he acknowledges me, I will, like, get on my knees and just put my face closer to him and just stare.
Oh, this is terrifying.
Wow. This is terrifying. All right. You're creeping us out. Get off the phone. Seriously, hang up right now. Let's try Victorville. This is going to be Andrew. He's on line five.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
So what happened?
It was about 2 years ago. I went on a church retreat, and they had like a whole table full of candies for like little kids. And it was really late at night. So everybody just ended up going to bed. We were like, we'll just clean it up in the morning. Well, I ended up waking up like 3-4 in the morning. On that table, it was broken in half. I was on the floor, and there's just candy wrappers everywhere, chocolate all over my face, but nobody was around.
That wasn't chocolate.
Don't
make it worse than it is. It was chocolate. How much candy was chocolate?
Think you ate?
It was, maybe 50, 60 pieces.
No.
Just tons. Of, I ended up just trying to sneak back to my room, and I ended up trying to sleep it off, and the next morning, everybody was standing around the table like, raccoons must have got in.
You're like, I can't believe those damn raccoons.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it.
Hey!
Oh, come on, Chip.
Chip.
It ain't a hay song.
It's so a hay song.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Kevin and Bean are off doing naughty things to each other, so we're here in the studio bringing you the Showbiz Beat each and every hour.
Is it butt stuff?
You know what it is.
Okay.
Before I get to showbiz news, though, I do want to talk about a big event that's happening this Saturday. I'm not familiar with it, but it's the K-Rock Broom Fest. I guess a lot of people will be sweeping.
Huh.
They're going to bring out some sort of brooms, and they'll be sweeping the infield at Santa Anita. I'm confused. I don't
understand
why you want to.
Is it brew and they misspelled
it?
Oh,
wrong. The Brew Fest. I know what that is.
Oh, wrong. Mugs.
That's the infield at Santa Anita. Where you get to drink beer, which is always a good thing. 40 different local brews will be represented this Saturday at Santa Anita Racetrack. And you can bet on the ponies. First race starts at noon. You can hang out with K-Rock DJs like Chip,
woo,
Super Steve, Lightning, Beer
Mug. Everybody say hey!
There's Lightning.
Oh, oh. Everybody scream!
Oh. Beer Mug will be there. Yeah!
With the baby?
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
Going for the butt.
Oh, hopefully not.
No, not. Dave the King of Mexico, Omar Stryker. They'll all be hanging out. Live performances by a band called Slaves Against the Machine, which is a Rage cover band, in between the races. It's all happening Saturday at Santa Anita. Let me sweeten the pot a little bit for you. First of all, it's only like $5 to get in. But I do have this very special VIP 4-pack of tickets. You get backstage access to the concert area. You get free admission, 2 drink tickets, a racing program and tip sheet, VIP wagering area, so you don't have to wait in line to place your bets. It is an awesome event. You got to be 20 years of age or older to win this, but give me a call right now if you're over 21, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through at that phone number gets the 4-pack of VIP backstage tickets to K-Rock's Brewfest this Saturday.
That is classic.
Oh, sad news. Singer-songwriter Don McLean and his wife Patricia have finalized their divorce after 29 years of marriage. 29 years. How do you make it for 29 years and just say, ugh, I'm going to be dead soon. What's the point? Why go through a divorce, right?
Right.
They have reportedly agreed to a settlement of $10 million. How does Don McLean have $10 million to settle with? McLean said the singer chose to ignore a premarital agreement in providing this settlement. So I guess they had a prenup. But he said, no, here, take this money. Patricia, by the way, filed for divorce citing adultery, abusive treatment, irreconcilable differences, and cruel behavior. On Don's part. Word is he just played American Pie over and over and over again.
It's very cool.
That was enough to drive her right from the home.
So she just said bye-bye.
Oh.
Just because that was the lyrics. Of,
I know there's not a lot of us here today, but you can leave.
Just put her in the file.
That's just mean, Chip. That's just mean.
Last hour we were talking about the fact that you were doing Cheers on stage. Cheers Live.
Mm-hmm.
As a stage production. This is the thing now. You take movies and TV shows and you make plays out of them. You make theatrical productions out of them. Well, Cheers isn't alone. It's just announced in New York City at the Theater Madison Square Garden for a special holiday run. They are going to do a stage version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh.
The classic holiday TV special.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yes.
I'm so... I want to be in this, first
of
all.
I do, too.
I want to play Hermie, the elf that wants to be a dentist.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh.
He's such a misfit.
I want to be a dentist. I'm going to fix the doll's teeth.
Oh, I love Hermie.
What was his song? Did we have that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nit. Whip. You can't fire me, I quit. Seems I don't fit in.
Oh, come on!
Hermie.
Live on stage!
Oh.
Rudolph with his nose.
Is it weird that I dated a guy in high school because he had that Hermie kind of wave to his hair? That little...
Yes, it's
I
weird.
I know.
That was the reason?
Totally. I loved Hermie so much.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Very true.
So true.
Very true.
Chasing your childhood ever since. Was he built like an elf? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
He was. It didn't last long.
No, it did not. David Lynch, the film director, is putting together a music festival. Well, this should be weird. It's called the Festival of Disruption. And it's happening October 8th and 9th at the Ace Theater here in Los Angeles. Now, you would think David Lynch would put together a weird collection of performers.
And they all sing backwards.
But yeah, that's nice. But Robert Plant is going to be playing. That's a pretty good get.
Go on.
For David Lynch. St. Vincent.
Wow.
Right? Questlove.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. It's a good lineup.
Okay.
Some of David's lesser-known movies will be screened also. And because it is Lynch, there will be daily transcendental meditation sessions.
Sure.
That's David's thing. I would like to, maybe when the boys get back, we can do a phone topic of people who are into TM, as it's known, transcendental meditation, because I've heard some remarkable things about it.
Is it known as TM?
It is! That's what they call it!
Who?
The people involved with it call
Nobody
it TM.
Calls it TM.
I would beg to differ, Missy.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog, do a little research, and then come back to me and say, oh, I'm so sorry I doubted you, Ralph, because the practitioners of that particular form of meditation call it TM.
Okay.
Especially David Lynch.
Well, all right.
I have to say that Ralph Garman is right.
Oh, wow.
I do it every day, and we do call it TM.
It's so weird you would just show up.
Thank you, David. Thank you for stopping by.
Okay.
Got a lot of time on
his hands. I stand corrected.
That's what happens when you meditate. You free your mind up enough that you can tell where you're going to be needed when, and then you just show up. It's awesome.
I have to go now. I'm going to smoke and do the weather report.
All
right, David. You know, David Lynch used to do the weather on his website every morning.
Oh, how did I not know that?
There was a video. He doesn't do it anymore, but they used to put a video on every morning, and he would say, "The weather in Los Angeles today is 75 degrees and partly sunny."
Really?
Yes, every day he would do that.
Oh, my God.
He's a weird dude.
Love him so much.
Dig it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Sure.
This is one of the great movies of the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
By far. 1985, 86, I want to say. 86, maybe? Yeah, because it's the 30th anniversary. They're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off in a very unique way. The film never had an official soundtrack.
Really?
Never released a soundtrack album. There was no Ferris Bueller Days Off soundtrack. So you couldn't get Donka Shane.
No.
Couldn't get that on the record. Twist and Shout. English Beat, of course, was from that movie as well. So much great music in that movie.
Let My Cameron Go.
John Hughes, who passed away in 2009, said at the time, A&M was very angry with me over that. They begged me to put out a soundtrack album, but I thought, who would want all those songs?
Except everyone?
Why would kids want Wayne Newton's Donka Shane? Or Yellow's Oh Yeah?
I feel like every single movie that he put out, every single one had the best soundtrack.
Great soundtracks. And for him to skip this, come on.
Right?
Bow, bow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on! Anyway, La La Land Records and Paramount Pictures are celebrating the 30th anniversary with a soundtrack album. So look for that soon. It'll be this fall.
Check that out.
This fall.
He's in.
Rodney's going to check it out. You know Rodney played Oh Yeah on his late night show on Sundays.
Yeah, coming up next, Save Ferris Bueller Day Off.
Did you say Save Ferris?
Yeah. That song from that movie, you know. Where the Chicka Chicka Powwow song goes, Oh Yeah, by a band called Yellow from Sweden. They did a song, and it's in the movie. And here it is now from Yellow, Oh Yeah. play it.
Yeah, you know that was going on Rodney's show. You know that was happening. Today's celebrity birthdays: Meryl Streep, 67 years old today. Cyndi Lauper, 63. Carson Daly, 43 years old today. Her good buddy Carson. They're celebrating down the hall. You know, we share a building with Amp.
With, like, cupcakes and stuff?
Oh, no. Oh. There's a full Bloody Mary bar.
What?
Yeah.
What?
There's cocktails being served. There's hors d'oeuvres. We're over here. I had to bribe Beer Mug to go out and get me a Subway sandwich for breakfast. They're having Bloody Marys and past hors d'oeuvres down there.
I'm sorry.
Carson Daly's studio. Oh, I'm on the wrong show.
I'm going to go run Best of over there.
Yeah, you should.
Right?
Kurt Warner's 45 years old today. Bruce Campbell's 58, of course, from Ash versus Walking Dead currently. Randy Couture of the MMA is 53. Donald Faison celebrates his 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Kevin, the moment you've been waiting for.
Oh, this is going to be so good. It's beard talk.
Hall of Fame baseball announcing legend Vin Scully is in the booth for his final season with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's the greatest of all time, and he proved it again Saturday night when he was calling the Dodgers-Padres game, and he decided that he was going to educate us on the history of beards.
I'm not going to do it now because there's two out and the base is empty, but sometime during the game, if you've been like the way I have been, looking at players with these big beards, I decided I'm going to do a little research on beards. So during the game, yeah, there's plenty of them around. We'll tell you a couple of stories as we go through it. Two down, second inning, no score.
All right. What do you suppose? Look, his explanation, if I take it at face value, hey, a lot of people sure have beards. What's up with that?
Right.
I mean, did he really then go and deep dive on the history of beards? I mean, I guess he must have.
I haven't heard the other 4.5 minutes, but...
But why would he do that?
I was thinking it was like a playoff beard conversation, but no, it's just beards
just
in
the
general?
History of beards. All right, well, maybe it will reveal itself as we hear more from Vin. Okay.
And first pitch, fastball, first strike. First of all, they say way back to the dawn of humanity, beards evolved, number one, because ladies like them.
Okay, so... He's not really? Just talking about what's going on with beards in 2016 America. He's
right.
Taking us back to the dawn of history. Like, Vin Scully is spending time thinking about who grew the first beard and why. That's where his head's at.
And number two, it was the idea of frightening off adversaries and wild animals. There's the one strike pitch swung on and missed strike two. In fact, it was so serious, if you look it up, there's a divine mandate for beards in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. No balls and two strikes.
Don't you love how seamlessly he's able to carry on two conversations at once?
That is, look.
Wow.
Look, I'm aware of my skill set and my problems, and I should not have Vin Scully's name in my mouth. So you can all make up your own minds, but he's talking about beards.
He's talking about beards, but he's doing it beautifully. And he's doing
it
the same
possible,
time.
Yes.
The same time he's calling a major league professional sporting event. Yes.
Stripling from the first base side of the rubber. Strike two pitch to Norris is promptly hit into right field, and it lands in front of Kike for a base hit. So Norris, a two-out single to right, and that will bring up Jamile Weeks.
Tell us about beards.
Jamile Weeks.
There became a time where Greek dramatists mined the popular prejudice against clean-shaven men. Back then, clean-shaven men were looked as the, oh, maybe effeminate. And then along came Alexander the Great.
Right.
Alexander the Great turned everything around for the beards.
I don't know if there's any kind of Vin Scully bingo game we can play when we listen to him call games, but if you had money down on Alexander the Great's name coming up during that game Saturday night, you were a big winner. Let's see what he has to say about Alex.
That's another story. Alexander the Great was not only great, but he also thought he was the greatest looking man in the world. Oh, absolutely. Stripling ready, delivers, gets his strike. And Alexander the Great said, there is no reason to cover up my beautiful face with a beard. And so all of a sudden, it started to disappear. One strike, Stripling ready, looks over at Norris, back to the hitter, and that's lined into left field for a base hit. Norris goes to second. So back-to-back base hits with two out. And the batter will be Adam Rosales.
By the way, I love that Vin is not panicking that since we've been listening to this clip, I feel like the Dodgers are terrible. I feel like everyone who gets up there is getting on base. Vin doesn't seem rattled by it at all because he's doing a deep dive on Alexander the Great's facial hair. He manages to keep everything together.
After Alexander the Great wanted clean-shaven people, it got so that the University of Paris banned long-bearded men from the lecture halls. That's back in 1533. And a few years later, the city's chief court outlawed beards on judges and advocates. And then you got to be the Russian strongman who liked a shaved face but long wigs. The first pitch in for a strike.
There have to be people tuning in going, wait, is he calling a baseball game? Or is this some sort of a TED Talk? Like, what's happening right now? I have more if you guys are still
with
us. Okay.
Did you know that the first woman female king of Egypt wore a fake beard to convince people that she was a man? Yeah, her name was Hatshepsut. Here's the strike one pitch on the way. Stripling's pitch in the dirt. Throw down to Utley. Not in time.
I think that may be somebody else on base, by the way. But Vin is not deterred because he has more weird facts.
One ball and one strike to count. Then, of course, you come to Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, right.
Who was clean shaven.
Really?
And a little 11-year-old girl named Grace Bedell. She said to Mr. Lincoln, if you would grow a beard, my daddy has a beard, and my mother will tease him to vote for you. So Abraham Lincoln grew a beard. And, of course, that came up when his chief rival said to him, you're two-faced. And Abraham Lincoln said, if I were two-faced, would I have the face that I'm wearing now?
Come on!
So he answered him pretty well. Two and one to count.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of all time. Vin Scully, this has been Beard Talk.
We are excited to welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. Wesley, Jeremiah, and Nayla, the Lumineers are here. Hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
So we know what it's like for us. It's always exciting to get new music from a band we love. But what's it like for you to hear Ophelia on the radio for the first time anywhere?
Well, strange once again.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have new music after 4 years. We've been keeping you guys patiently waiting.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about we got a lot of questions for you since the last time we saw, but we might as well start with Ophelia. Is there anything you are willing to share with us about either the meaning of that song or how it came about or what it means or how it fits into the big picture? Just talk Ophelia for us, if you would.
Yeah, I think one of the things about Ophelia that was pivotal for this record was that it was the first song we finished in the demo process. So it's kind of like one of those things you build around. And it's a little bit of a relief because you have this monkey on your back. You have all these kernels of ideas and nothing's done yet. And it just feels good to finish something. Mm-hmm. And then
the first song can be the hardest, right?
Yeah. So it's your first steps towards a new record.
The album is called Cleopatra. And I have seen in recent print interviews that you guys have done that you've talked about how it's a little more plugged in, a little grittier maybe than the first album.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good. Those are cool adjectives to describe it. We'll take that.
Well, they might have been yours.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool album. I mean, the song Ophelia that we just heard is really cool. I'm really excited about it because it's mostly just piano and Wes's voice with some drums and stuff and kind of stripped back from the guitar-laden first album. The second album, though, does have a lot of guitar and heavier drum set feel, and it just got recorded in such a really cool sonic way that it feels larger than life and feels a little bit more mature and evolved from the first
What's
album.
What's the songwriting process with you guys? Everybody does it differently. Who comes up with the germ of the idea?
It usually is I write most of the lyrics, and then we usually sit down with these ideas that are kind of half-baked, and then we fill them out or flesh them out.
Hey, I want to ask you about a couple other things since the last time we spoke with you. And first up is President Obama is a fan of the Lumineers? What?
Yes.
we're going to need more out of you than yes on that one.
I think we all got texts from different friends. According to our sources, his people, whoever published a Spotify playlist, which I think consisted of an evening playlist and a daytime playlist. And I think we were the evening playlist. That mm-hmm. featured our song Stubborn Love, and that was really a huge honor because, from what I recall, it was mostly an old, classic, more timeless, artist that
That were on that list.
Amazing, yeah. And
that was, so it's like wow. Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, the Lumineers. It was that kind of a list?
That's awesome company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you guys think you were being pranked at first? Because if I ever got that kind of text from somebody, I'd go, yeah, right.
I think my brother just texted me, F you. he just didn't really, he was just like, what else is going to happen?
But I wanted to ask you another thing since the last time we had you in, and that is the Hunger Games song, The Hanging Tree. Tell us the story of that. You got the lyrics were from the book, but you guys wrote the music. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a pretty backwards way of working for us. We typically have the melody kind of set, and then we fill it in like you would play a game of Hangman with the syllables. And this time, everything was set, and then we had to create a melody around these existing lyrics from the book. So
that seems very hard.
Yeah, well, it was more like let's take a shot at this and see if it sounds good. We figured they were asking a bunch of people. So, and there's a lot, it was weird because it was a phenomenon at that point. So there's a lot of people that are going to be really happy. And there's a lot like Star Wars. There's a lot of people that's going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
It doesn't matter how good or bad.
So, it was surprising that it worked out. And then it was orchestrated so beautifully. So, I think that helped too. And Jennifer Lawrence singing it never hurts the popularity of it.
There's that.
Yeah, what about that? I mean, Jennifer Lawrence can sing, first of all. I mean, that even ended up getting played a bunch on the radio.
She's magical, yeah.
I'd heard she was, like, very nervous about it. And I know they lowered it a little bit. She's got such a nice, low voice. Mm-hmm. But, it worked out really well. I heard she was very nervous that she was, I'm not a singer. And I thought it turned out great.
It's funny to think of people like Jennifer Lawrence being nervous about anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She seems like she's great at everything and doesn't even have to try.
Yeah, we did SNL with her. Yeah. Like, she was we knew she was important when we rolled by some fans waiting outside SNL. And we said, Jer said jokingly to somebody, do you know who we are? She's like, yeah, you're the Lumineers. I'm here for Jennifer Lawrence.
Exasperated.
That's sort of worse than them not knowing who you are, isn't it?
Yeah, she's like, I'm over it, okay? But Jennifer Lawrence was the most relaxed, you know, person on the set. Yeah.
All right, let's, in our remaining couple of minutes here, you guys, anything else you want to talk about in terms of Cleopatra? Any songs in particular that come to mind or things that you're excited about people hearing for the first time when you get out there and start touring this? Because, you know, we know a little bit about Ophelia now. Maybe you can tell us some more about some of the other songs.
Well, the title track, the album's called Cleopatra. It's named after one of the songs on the record. And so that song was also a sort of cornerstone to the record. And it's about this. It's told from the perspective of this woman that I learned about. It's a real story about this woman who, when she was about 16, was proposed to right in the midst of her father passing away and never said yes or no to the guy. He left. And as he tracked out mud, it was raining, she never saw him again and refused to wash the footprints off of her carpet. And so I said, like, tell me more. And I learned more and more about this person. So that's a track that we're really excited about, and which is why we named the album it as well. So,
tell me about Gun Song.
It's about guns. Gun Song? These are morbid stories for the morning, but...
all right.
I went into a sock drawer of my dad's. He had just, my dad passed away in 2007, so he had just passed away. I was going to my job, and I had no black socks left that were clean. I was a waiter. And so I reached into his sock drawer. He still had his clothes in there. And there was I picked out a gun. I didn't realize he even had a gun. And so it kind of made me think about it didn't make me think about gun laws or gun control. Or anything.
Yeah, right. You don't want that.
But it did make me think about all the things that I didn't know about this person. That we all have those things. So it kind of spurred on the idea for the song.
Well, we're very excited to have you guys back, and we want to thank you for letting us play Ophelia with you here in the room today. It was a lot of fun. You'll be hearing a lot of Ophelia in weeks and months to come here on K-Rock. And Wesley, Jeremiah, Neela, so great to see you guys again. Congratulations. Welcome back, and thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, guys. Wake up, you need to make
money. Hello.
You pulling a Kevin? Taking this whole replacing Kevin thing pretty
far. Sorry.
It's
just we're watching the greatest video in the world in the other room, and I got a little hung up. Sorry, I'm a little late. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42 in the morning.
Kevin and Bean aren't with us any longer, but...
rest in peace.
Rest in peace, boys. We'll never forget you. You know, they're nominated for another Hall of Fame
Saw that, yes.
The National Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this one's in Chicago.
Yes. And they're nominated, so We should find out how you can vote for them or something.
You have to text something.
Really? Well, we'll get all the details. Yes. We'll put it up at krock.com and we'll tweet it out and stuff. But it's not so much that we care about Kevin Bean getting another Hall of Fame award, but we'd all really like a trip to Chicago.
And
we get to go, I think.
A, we get to go, and B, they have to wear suits again.
Yes,
suits,
which is always
suits,
entertaining.
Suits.
Watching Kevin in a suit.
Oh, he's so good. Oh,
it's like putting a hat on a dog.
Yeah.
You know when you put a hat on a dog and they don't really want it?
Yeah.
And they just keep moving their heads and stuff and shaking it.
But it's not coming off, but they keep doing it.
They're relentless. That's what Kevin does in a suit. So.
It's awesome.
Anyway, the boys will be back soon. Meanwhile, we're going to bring you a Showbiz Beat each and every hour, like I do. And maybe tomorrow we'll talk about this video in the other room.
Yeah, what are you watching? Yeah.
It's I got to tell you this much. It is a promo video for a song by a local band.
Okay.
But it's not really a video of the song. It's a short film based around the title of the song. And it stars our own Rodney Bingenheimer. K-Rock's Rodney Bingenheimer is the star of the video.
Oh, my God, yes.
I need this.
It is a tour de force of acting. And I have tweeted out the link if you want to check it out for yourself. If you follow me at Ralph Garman on Twitter, you can find the link. And you can watch it the way the rest of us have over and over and over again.
Got to check that out.
Yes, you do have to check that out, sir. All right. Let's talk about show business news. Selma Blair, scary breakdown on a plane returning from Cancun, Mexico this week. She was, witnesses say she may have taken some medication and then had a glass of wine. And sometimes the reaction can be less than ideal. It certainly seems to have been in this case. She was sitting there on the plane with her 4-year-old son and her ex. And then she started yelling during the flight about the following. Someone burns my private parts, she yelled. He won't let me eat or drink. He beats me. He is going to kill me.
Oh, no.
No one knew exactly who she was talking about. Could have been no one. Could have been the unicorn she saw.
Or Jesus.
It could be Jesus.
I feel like he maybe wouldn't do that
wouldn't
so
do
much.
That. He doesn't burn your private parts.
No.
You don't know, man.
So she was taken off the plane on a stretcher, transported to a local hospital, so hopefully all is well.
That's really scary.
It's just a bad reaction to medication and alcohol, which sometimes, you know, happens. This is good news if you like me and you're a Supergirl fan. The series, of course, will have its second season on the CW this year as opposed to CBS, where it started. They've just cast the President of the United States on that show. It'll be played by none other than Wonder Woman herself, Linda Carter.
Yeah!
Kids love Wonder Woman. She played Wonder Woman, I can't believe it, in the 70s, 1975 through 1979. She's still thought of, considered as the quintessential Wonder Woman. And she'll now play the President of the United States on Supergirl.
That's a great casting.
It is great casting. And they're really good on that show about involving actors who, well, all the CW superhero shows do this, but Supergirl especially, bringing actors back who have participated in somehow in the legend of DC Comics.
Because
you've got Helen Slater
Hunt,
who plays Supergirl, the original Supergirl in the movie. She plays her stepmom in the film. Dean Cain, you have, who played, of course, Superman and Lois and Clark. And now you've got Wonder Woman joining the cast. So.
Excellent.
That's pretty awesome.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She did not make the cut, Rodney. She's no longer acting or performing, to the best of my knowledge. Rumors for a long time were that Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes were dating. These rumors have been swirling since 2013. Looks like we may have confirmation. Claudia Jordan is the name of a woman who was formerly on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Sure.
She is very close with Jamie Foxx, and she says in an interview that he is very happy with her, and I like that he seems very happy, she said. Sort of an offhand comment, but the first time anyone really has addressed that relationship in any sort of concrete way, so it looks like they may actually be dating.
Katie needs some goodness.
Yeah, seems like a nice couple. I don't know why they've been so secretive about it, if in fact they are dating. Except maybe, you know, you don't end up in a tanker down in Long Beach chained to a wall or something learning about Xenu and the atomic bombs. I don't think you want that to happen.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, it can happen. You don't want to mess with the wrong people. and her ex, Tom Cruise, you know. I'm just saying.
Are you?
Jamie should have somebody start his car for him.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's right, wow. Jiminy. Jiminy Glick
knows. He knows.
He knows what's up. James Corden.
Love.
Recently welcomed Selena Gomez in for an episode of his Carpool Karaoke, which featured a song on a roller coaster as well. I don't know if you've seen that video or not this past week. But with that behind him, the word is now that his next guest in a Rolls Royce doing Carpool Karaoke will be First Lady Michelle Obama. Michelle made the announcement herself on her brand new Snapchat account.
Come on.
Which she just launched in anticipation with her upcoming trip to Liberia, Morocco, and Spain.
Huh.
She's traveling the world to spread love, and she's going to do James Corden. It's getting harder and harder to distinguish between our politicians and YouTubers.
Nope.
YouTube stars. It just seems like it's all sort of...
Sit down.
No, she's going to sing?
That's what I want to see. James Corden and Donald Trump doing Carpool Karaoke. Nope. Yes.
I don't want to see any person that's affiliated
with serious
the
stuff?
Highest position in the United States of America. Just no. No.
So you're saying yes?
No, I am not.
So you like it.
Cut it out.
Just in time for the election season, comedian Louis Black will settle in for his Broadway residency. His show, Black to the Future, runs for 5 consecutive Mondays from September 12th through October 10th at the Marquee Theater on Broadway in New York City. Now, there's a musical in that theater called On Your Feet that usually plays on that stage, but they have Mondays off, as many musicals do on Broadway. They take Monday off and they work the rest of the week. So instead of just leaving the theater empty, they're going to put Lou Black up there on Monday nights.
What's he doing? Like a one-man show? Just like a comedy show?
It's a comedy show, but it is, yes. It's all of those things.
Well, then.
It's a one-man show, but it's his comedy. He's not doing Mark Twain or anything, Allie. He's doing what he does.
I'd see that.
He's going to get up. Louis Black is Mark Twain?
Yes.
Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer on the river.
Bitchin'.
I don't think you want to see that.
I do. More than ever. So much.
The frog contest in Calaveras County was fixed, okay? I don't know if you want to see that. Anyway, if you're a Lou Black fan like I am, if you've never seen him live, by the way, amazing live show. You can check that out in New York from September 12th through October 10th. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Clyde Drexler, former NBA star, 54 years old today. Actor Donald Faison is 42. Randy Couture from the MMA world is 53 years old. Bruce Campbell currently can be seen Ash versus the Evil Dead. I said last hour Ash versus the Walking Dead,
oops,
which would be a very...
Again, I watched that.
Right? That'd be
yes,
a great show. Instead of boring old Carl in his hat, you have Ash out there with his chainsaw hand,
right?
Going after zombies. Now we're talking.
Opening pudding with the chainsaw.
Where's that mashup?
Yeah.
Kurt Warner, former NFL QB, is 45 years old. Our good buddy Carson Daly celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Cindy Lauper celebrates her 63rd birthday. Meryl Streep, greatest actress of our generation. Safe to say,
yeah,
right? 67 years old today. Before I say goodbye, folks, don't forget to tune in at 5 o'clock for the commercial-free hour. 5 p.m., commercial-free K-Rock music, thanks to the friends at the our helpful Honda dealers. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers, and we appreciate them helping us all out with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Tomorrow, we're going to do What's Good. Again, we'll take your phone calls. That'll be fun. Of course, live showbiz beats. We'll be talking about what to do and not do in the office that makes your coworkers crazy. If no one's making you crazy, then you're the one making them crazy.
That's a good point.
And maybe we'll talk about Rodney's new movie, too, tomorrow. Maybe we'll break that down, because I don't know if I can wait for Kevin and Bean to come back to talk about it. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show.